All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, July 13th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
Maybe I'll get into this later, but I run with like a new group of, I'll call them like a little, the slightly crunchier crowd that does seem to like, I don't know, there's some people I think that buy into Friday the 13th more.
No, you don't know anyone who actually thinks Friday the 13th
there's a lot of talk about moon cycles and stuff like that. It's not like, it's sort of like on the outlier sense of like where...
Do they know that people just made up the calendar? is that on their radar?
I don't even broach it because I actually like a lot of these people, like just from on like a personal level. And so it's like one of those things where it's like, well, it's not really worth it to get into because... It's like why I don't discuss politics in dinner parties, right? It's like we're having a nice time. We kind of agree on all other stuff. No reason to go down the old political train here.
And like Sandy over there just like won't walk under a ladder. If she sees a black cat, she goes and like breaks a mirror or whatever.
And it's just fine. It's just fine. Like everyone has their peccadillos. I don't use them as the total litmus test for the people I'm going to spend the rest of my life hanging out with. That being said, it does always...
That was a really good hedge in case any of them wanted listening.
That's the other part of it because I don't think... The other thing you get when you run in these crowds is you don't get one person that enjoys watching sports.
A lot of sports talk.
Yeah, it's a nice break, all things considered, I would say. So maybe that's why we're friends. Anyway, DFSR, after that lead-in, DFSR.com/MLB is the site to, or the URL to go to get a free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We have PGA lineups going up as well. Got some NFL content going up hopefully today where I take a look at some of the teams that have had the biggest have vacated the most targets from the teams who are some guys that stand to come in and gobble them up. So that's some football stuff. All going up under one subscription package, dfsr.com/MLB will get you started. Friday in baseball, like I said, Friday the 13th, so you know something weird is going to happen.
I'm sure of it personally.
After yesterday it seemed like every single ace was pitching yesterday, DeGrom, Scherzer, Kluber, Severino, and then there were some other like, I don't know, second tier sort of guys. Today seems very much the opposite. All the good pitchers were wasted in Thursday's games, and today we have a list of guys that are not anything like the group that we just mentioned. Where do we start here? Because you can usually get a sense of where pitching is going when you, and this is like a quick and dirty way to think about it, but if you look and say, no, there's one pitcher more than $10,000 on FanDuel today, and that's Syndergaard, and he's coming back off the DL, so I think you can, you know, probably just say, well, I'll wait to start with him with pitch count. Do you get a little worried when you see the healthiest pitcher at 9,400 and then everyone else is cheaper? Is that like a warning sign to you? Do you like days like this? After we talk about that, we can talk about like which one of these guys maybe does stand out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel great, I guess, when I see such cheap pitchers. But I do think, like for me, Madison Bumgarner being the guy that burbles to the top of the system, it's actually, you know, a poison pill I can swallow, I guess. Bumgarner, you know, he got off to that rocky start when he first came back in June, but really since June 21st start against San Diego, he's had a run of fairly effective starts. Again, you know, he had one at Coors game that was less than spectacular. The Cards game, he went most recently, gave up a lot of earned runs. A lot of that looked like BABIP issues in that game, but you know, 8 Ks against 2 walks against San Diego, 8 Ks against 2 walks against Colorado on those 21st and 27th starts. It seems to me that he's still a pretty effective pitcher, and I really like his matchup here against the A's. The A's actually are pretty good this season against righties, but have been considerably worse against lefties, striking out at the 8th highest rate in the majors and being in the bottom half of the league in terms of WOBA. And you know, you get him in San Francisco, and I think that's a good recipe for Bumgarner as well. He's not an ace, but he's an ace compared to the guys on this slate, and I think that's a really good spot to be.
The park really helps him. I believe that San Francisco actually played as the worst hitter's park in baseball last year. It was worse than San Diego, and I think it was just the worst across the board if you look at park factors. The park really helps him. Like you said, the 9 strikeouts in his first 17 or so innings coming back from the DL is not really indicative of what he's done lately. He's been much more like a strikeout per inning guy since then. That's basically since the San Diego start. And then even with the issues that he had against St. Louis, allowing the 7 hits, still not really walking all the many batters. So you like to see that. I think that you are going to see, I think it's not worth it to look at his full season numbers, which again are not full season because he's, you know, only recently back from injury, but mostly just look at the recent log and say he's a lot closer to what he did last year, which was 8.2 Ks per nine, less than two walks per nine. He's a lot closer to that. Yeah, he's a lot closer to that than he is anything that like his full season numbers look like so far. It's still not a tremendous amount of upside. Like, he's not an elite K guy. Like, he's not going to. It does not appear as if he's going to go back to 2016 10 Ks per nine, which he was doing in 2016, 2015. I don't think we're going to get a return to that for, you know, whatever reason, age regression or just general velocity stuff or whatever it is that's causing him to not strike as many batters out. We're not getting there. I think on FanDuel I'm fine with that. Actually, one thing I like sometimes with the way these kind of slates shake out is that you can sort of hedge. It's like a natural hedge on pricing. So you can play Bumgarner on FanDuel and feel kind of okay about it, and then maybe not pay a premium for him on DraftKings, where I think he's a little bit more expensive. Let me just look it up real quick.
Can I comment really quick on the upside comment then while you look that up? Because maybe in a vacuum or compared to guys like Max Scherzer or Chris Sale or something, he doesn't, but I just don't know who the upside guys on the slate are, though.
I guess if you
think Syndergaard goes deep into the game, maybe he has the upside, but there are just, like, as you look up and down this list, you're not going to see a lot of guys that have even as much upside as Bumgarner. So I actually like him for safety, and I think he's a reasonable GPP play if you think other people are not going to be excited about him.
For sure. There aren't a lot of big strikeout guys on the slate at all. I guess more my point was going to say, paying 11.4 for him on DraftKings, I don't think I'm going to do that, and I think therefore I'm going to have exposure to Bumgarner on FanDuel and then not worry about having exposure to him as much on DraftKings. He'll just play some of these mid-tier guys, and I think that's just a nice way to, again, like, hedge out who you are spending on for pitching today, just sort of based on what the sites did with pricing and not having to make a stand. Like, you know, for some nights it's like, well, Chris Sale 13,000 on both sites, whatever, we're just going to play them both. On a night where maybe pitching is a little closer, the fact that he's, I don't know, 2,000 more than some of the other guys we're going to talk about here makes it so that I can just, I have no problem pivoting down to those guys, taking the savings and maybe paying up for bats.
So let's get to it then. Who do you actually like on DraftKings? Because, I mean, I see some guys coming up in our system, you know, if you don't want Bumgarner in there, but I'm not very encouraged by these names either. So where are you kind of getting that mid-tier safety, Jay?
Okay, so I wrote up Carlos Martinez last night, and one reason is, so if you look at his season numbers, they look not great. He's striking out 8.7, and he has 4.7 walks per nine. But if you look at his game log, those walks are really clustered. So he had like two or three games of horrific amount of walks.
18
so
walks was, across three starts. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So if you, and I'm not taking them out by any means, because if you have the ability to walk that many guys, you can just do it on any given night. But I do like a guy that I'm more encouraged by them being clustered together rather than just being, I just walk four guys every single time I go out, if that makes sense. I'd much rather see, you know, the game against Cincinnati, he just didn't have it, let's say, right? The game against Miami, he just didn't have it. Five walks, seven walks, and then he has a four walk game in there, and he has a six walk game against Chicago. And actually, the three
Well, and
really
control bad- can be mental at that point, too. Like, if after you're coming off that one bad start, it can be easy to let that snowball on you.
Right, because he had those 18 walks were three straight games. Since then, he's walked five guys in his last 23 innings, and that strikes me much more as, and basically those were his numbers essentially in the run before that three game stretch. And I think looking at that, that makes me feel a little bit better about the 80. And so you're getting him about a strikeout an inning guy. I'm not as worried about the walks as the full season numbers might suggest. You get Cincinnati out of Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati's been a good offensive team. Some of that is their home park. You get them moving into St. Louis, which is a big downgrade in terms of park factor. He's a -150 favorite. I think for 8,100, I can stomach the strikeout stuff and the matchup. I mean, am I talking myself too much into it? Because I, you know, in looking at those numbers, I first looked at the numbers and was like, oh, God, this does not look good. And then when I boiled it down a little bit more, I didn't feel as bad about possibly running him out there in cash for 8,000, which really helps him on a day where you're going to have cores and a couple other expensive bats.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be clear. You can only play the guys that are available in any given slate. And so if we wind up with Martinez, like if he were in like a pitcher two slot, I think I could live with it. I think you make a fairly compelling case that the control issues were clustered in that three game stretch in the middle of June. I will say, like, I don't think the three walks or five walks across 23 innings or whatever you cited after that, I don't think that's really indicative of who he'll be in the future necessarily, just because that's like a low twos walks per nine, and he's just never done that at any point in his career. So I'm very hesitant to say in the year where he has the highest walks of his career that he's actually going to, you know, that his true talent is the lowest. But even if he settles out in around that 3.1, 3.2 walks per nine range, which I think is a pretty fair assessment, he's probably underpriced here. So yeah, and you know, with fewer walks will also mean he'll go deeper into games, give him more opportunity to strike guys out. So I think it kind of feeds everything you're looking for if he's, you know, going to walk fewer guys. So yeah,
let me be clear. As a pitcher too. If this was yesterday, we wouldn't even be discussing him. This is where, you know, the daily fantasy piece of it comes in. If he's just pitching for the Cardinals yesterday with the group of guys that were going around him, I don't think he'd be six or seven down on the list of guys we'd discuss. Like, we would have talked about Taillon, you know, 5,700, and guys Stripling and guys like this. It's more about the day than it is about the pitcher. And so when you're just, you're left to play the cards you're dealt here, and pun intended, the Cardinals. But this is just sort of where you're left. Now, the other guy that's showing up, I'm really wondering your thoughts here, because the other guy showing up on DraftKings for us right now is Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel's 8,400. He has a projection right around where Carlos Martinez has. They're both in that 17.5 DraftKings points range. They're really essentially tied. He is a guy, I don't know what to feel about him, because there's no strikeouts here. There's some money line stuff. He can get innings. He's like, I hate playing Keuchel. It's mostly what I'm trying to say. Like, I get why the system likes him at this price, and he's just the guy. He's just the kind of pitcher I hate playing. And I wonder, if these numbers were attached to somebody else not named Dallas Keuchel, like, would we be having the same discussion? Like, if we did a player A, player B comparison, I don't know. Does that make sense what I'm asking? Like, I don't know.
Well,
I don't
it
know
makes if, like, sense you're asking, but obviously you know that the system doesn't care what the guy's name is. It's just looking at the projection and, you know, trying to run it over the course of how he looks today. So, but I just want to clarify for the people out there, like, it's not like you and I are trying to jam him home because he's a big name that had some good seasons a few years ago.
Sure.
The system is seeing that he still is a really high ground ball pitcher. It's seeing that on DraftKings, you know, preventing base runners is really important, and he can do that pretty well. I mean, again, we're talking about making sacrifices to play multiple pitchers on DraftKings, so you usually wind up with someone you're less than excited about. A really interesting thing about Keuchel, from my perspective, and kind of where he bucks mainstream trends, is he generates a ton of ground balls, but he also prevents BABIP really, really well. And that's because he generates, like, kind of these weak ground balls that are very likely to turn into double plays. And so, you know, you'll see that his floor winds up being somewhat high. Like, even last year when he had lost some percentage of his stuff, he was still going out there for almost seven innings per start and an ERA under three. So he's still a good pitcher, I think. And he's a little bit too expensive. Like, you're really overpaying for floor here is my big concern. It's something, you know, where I don't really like to be when I'm making my DFS lineups. But, you know, again, I'm listening if there are alternatives, I guess, is my major perspective. Because I'd be happy, actually, just to play Bumgarner and Martinez. Like, that sounds pretty good to me. But if I had to play Martinez and somebody, and Martinez is kind of like my marquee guy, then I feel like I'm just signing up to be scrambling on some level.
Yeah, it boils down to price. I mean, we have Bumgarner, obviously. We have Bumgarner projected for more points than Keuchel. He's just $3,000 more. And that's just that's like two whole good batters, right? Like, two whole guys in cores, basically, that we can pivot up to by going down to Keuchel. So one real quick thing about Keuchel, you were mentioning about, you know, the BABIP issues. This is not a comparison, but just as a way to say what kind of hard contact rate he generates over the last couple of seasons, some less than a 30% hard contact rate. Like, guys like power pitchers, guys like, you know, Scherzer generates something like a 31% hard contact rate. So now, again, Scherzer generates more strikeouts, so there's less contact being made. But if you are a guy like Keuchel that is putting maybe the times where you put guys on, inducing that's why you might see the BABIP issues just remain low, because, or the BABIP stuff remain low, because, yeah, like you said, there are numbers that back up some of that weak stuff that happens, like the medium.
Well, and he's going to be one of the best pitchers in the league at getting two outs with one pitch as well. And I think combining that, like, you'll see an ERA under the xFIP and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, Keuchel, I think he's still a good pitcher. I you know, that's just my opinion on it, but he's kind of unexciting for fantasy purposes sometimes.
For the
other guy, so if you decide that you simply don't want to, like, if you feel like Keuchel is, you know, too low ceiling, and you think, like, say, guys like Syndergaard, Bumgarner, we're not going to play them based on price and Syndergaard's extenuating circumstances. What about Zach Godley? I mean, Godley, his season-long line looks very similar to Carlos Martinez's. Maybe it doesn't have exactly the same, you know, the same narrative that you can sculpt around just a few bad starts really killing everything. But, you know, going up against Atlanta today, 7,700, so he's 400 cheaper than Martinez. Is that, like, can we, how cheap can we go, I guess? Because that lineup currently is less than 1 point off of that top lineup with Keuchel.
Yeah, just don't love the matchup here against Atlanta. It's a pitcher's park, excuse me, it's a hitter's park in Atlanta since they moved over to the new stadium. Atlanta's somewhere in the 4.5 implied run range. And the top of that lineup just doesn't K at all. Like, Inciarte never strikes out, really. Albies has been excellent. Freeman is a very tough strikeout, and Markakis never strikes out. So even guys like Inciarte and Markakis who don't generate tons of power, although I think Markakis has more home runs this year than he has in the past. But in general, these are not huge power guys. It's still very difficult to generate strikeouts against them. And so yeah. I think that's my only concern with Godley. I like the peripherals. You know, our system's always going to, not always, or at times there's going to be a price difference here, but mostly is going to trend toward money line favorites because just getting some of that binary win points applied to your projection are going to help. And that's the other thing that's just driving Godley down. So I just don't love the matchup. But again, this is the problem with today. Like, is he a GPP play because of the strikeouts? For sure. Because if you can get a guy in that is hovering around a strikeout per inning in this less than 8,000 range, because there aren't that many other guys that are able to do this, I think you want to... I think it's definitely worth taking a stab on them in GBPs, especially today. Like, it didn't make a ton of sense yesterday to go this route because there was, now again, all the aces kind of got blown up. So Tyon ended up being the best guy and whatever. That is not going to happen if we played that scenario out 1,000 times. So it did happen yesterday, but today's the kind of day where a lower tier guy can actually probably turn it up enough to be the GBP guy, and Godley, I would say, probably fits in that range. Two other guys I want to bring up here, sort of along the same lines. One is Nick Kingham. He faces Milwaukee. With Tyon yesterday, did strike out a lot. And then the other guy is Domingo Germán. He has a terrible matchup against Cleveland, but he's a guy that we've been able to see dial up strikeouts as well. Do either of these guys interest you as maybe GBP flyers just based on what they can, you know, at times that we've been able to see that they've had some strikeout stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so it's funny. I was actually like kind of laughing to myself when you were talking about what you don't like about Godley and that you like the upside, but you don't like the safety. It's like, obviously, like, we'd all love guys that have both upside and safety.
Oh, sure. You're like, right. Yeah, well, then he'd be 10,000.
Like that Zach Godley, he just doesn't have the safety I'm looking for. Oh, Keuchel, he's safe, but no upside. It's like, yeah, right.
They'd be priced like Scherzer at 12,000. Like, if they had
exactly, both. Things, exactly, so, right. So, you know, the price thing always throws a fly in the ointment. But yeah, the guys you mentioned, like, sure, I think GPP upside. Today is one of those days where the GPP lineups or the big tournament lineups are going to be sort of anybody's guess because there just isn't that obvious, like, cheap guy who's, like, kind of erratic that you just, like, slot in there and hope for the best, you know, that some percentage of the, you know, the thinking players are going to play. Like, it's just basically all over the place. I think you will see some Godley in there, although, again, that Atlanta matchup with the bottom 5Ks against opposing righties, like, there's just not that much upside to be had. So if you can get it, I think actually the upside today, it comes less from figuring out who's going to come out with the miracle 7 innings, 11K game. And it's going to be more about picking the guys that just don't have generically bad performances. Like, where can you get a 7 innings, 7 strikeout, no runs game? And I think, you know, maybe it's like almost like you're hedging a little bit and going for a little bit of extra safety. And just understanding that a lot of these guys that could blow up, they usually do. So,
and that's sort of where I fall with a guy like Kingham, because he is 8.5 Ks per nine, gets Milwaukee out of Milwaukee into Pittsburgh, which is a big boost a big downgrade for them in terms of power, because Pittsburgh's a pretty bad park for hitters. And then the Brewers strike out 25% of the time against righties, which is right around the most in the league. It's a fourth most, but it's only by fractional percentage points at that point. I think that's where I see a guy, if he has, to me, like, so if I was like choosing between him and, let's say, Godley at around the same price, I'd probably go Kingham just because I like some of the other external factors that are working in his favor for a guy with around the same peripherals. Maybe the strikeouts are less, but the walks are also a lot less too. So he went 6 innings his last start, only 3 the time before that. because he was getting really knocked around, although some of that was there were unearned runs, which extended innings, and then six innings before the time before that where he struck out, you know, five guys in each of those. So, yeah, I think I like him, and we just have seen this Brewers lineup just dial up a ton of Ks as evidence. One evidence was last night with Taillon, and then really over the course of the season, they've struck out a lot. All right, we'll get into some of the stacks here. Hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll talk with some bats.
Sure, let's talk about NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime.com is a great place to go to grab an app that allows you to play one-on-one daily fantasy sports challenges without having to do all the work like we have to do every night of figuring out how all the money works, you know, figuring out these salary cap games. With NoHalftime, you simply download the app, pick a guy you think is going to have a big night. Maybe you like Bumgarner tonight. You think people are going to be off him. You can issue a challenge of Madison Bumgarner versus any or all pitchers that you like. Other people can come in and accept the challenge. If they do, it's game on. If not, no worries. Your money is refunded to you. So, yeah, head on over to NoHalftime.com. Download the app. Use promo code DFSR for a 50% bonus up to $50 on your first deposit.
While we were talking here, the run line on the Colorado game actually just came in. There was no line on it last night, I think, as they were waiting to have the Seattle pitcher finalized. It's going to be Christian Bergman. I had set this line at 11 at like minus 120 for Colorado. I was wrong by a whole run and some points on the money line. It comes in at 12 with Colorado at minus 140. They're now coming in somewhere around the high sixes in terms of implied runs. Knowing this, I mean, we kind of had a feeling this was going to be the case anyway, but knowing that we are looking at this just one of these classic Coors run line games, does this become like the absolute priority for this slate, at least on the Colorado side, where you are getting some guys on, I would say, on like the slightly cheaper side of things, and it really kind of doesn't matter because of the pitching? Does this become the full priority, at least for cash games, to maybe just stack this game both sides of it?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't go overboard trying to jam the Coors game every single night, but when there's no clear ace, and you can still basically, like, especially on FanDuel, like, you can still get pretty definitively the best pitcher on the slate and still get three or four Coors guys in this game, it seems like an easy call. I mean, it's probably not worth breaking it down too far. The run line probably tells you all that you need to know, but Christian Bergman really is pretty bad. He looked pretty good in his first start coming back this season, but in prior major league stints, I mean, 2017, including bullpen work, 5.5 Ks per nine against 2.5 walks per nine. With the Rockies prior to that, when he was a starter, less than 5 Ks per nine, exactly 5 Ks per nine. The guy never even struck guys out in the minors. Like, he's just a really, really bad pitcher, and you have to think that the Rockies will take full advantage today.
Yeah, guys like, and the other thing too is like some of these Rockies, like Blackman isn't having the season he had last year. There's some home run, the fly ball issues there going on, and just some general regression. He was not gonna probably be like a 1,000 OPS guy or whatever he did last year, even with the park. And he's coming way too cheap on FanDuel, 4,200. He's going to be, with the state of pitching today, my guess is Blackman comes in something like 80% in cash games, maybe like higher, and it's really pretty rare to see that for a batter. But just knowing that if he's going to be at the, yeah, he's been hitting the two hole. So if he's like hitting second in this lineup, they have by far the highest implied run line, and he's sitting in that low 4,000s range. There's just no reason to move off of him for cash games, at least. I don't see. Yeah. I think he's going to be just crazy owned. He's more expensive, even 5,500 on FanDuel. I don't think you're even worried about it because some of the other bats that are in this range of just like on good offenses that are in good spots. I mean, Mookie Betts is definitely there. We'll talk about the Red Sox in a second, but I just don't see a reason to not full stack. Even Arenado on the worst side of a split, I think, again, the state of pitching just has it. So these things aren't even stretches. Cargo at 3,400, I think you see him as a very popular play as long as he's hitting cleanup. Now, Seattle side of it, their guys have been really priced up. Antonio Senzatella, I always get confused on the consonants there. He's also no great shake. Seattle's coming in with right around 5.7. implied runs, so lower than the Rockies for sure, but still a lot more than that you're ever going to see from them. They've gotten the Coors bump in terms of pricing. Do you see these guys, do you see, like, just kind of like I said before, going the Colorado side? And also, are there enough bats on the Seattle side, because like they have some righties in the top of the lineup that just don't hit other righties all that well? I don't know, I'm a little less bullish, I guess, on the Seattle side.
Yeah, I mean, they're got, like, again, for big tournaments, you can easily grab as many Mariners as you want. And if you think that will be sort of the off-board side of the stack, then I think it's very sensible to do that. I think there's no point in paying up for them when you can just get the Coors guys at their normal prices, which is to say probably a little bit too cheap based on the matchup here. So, yeah, for cash games, I'm not super interested. But, yeah, for big tournaments, why the heck not? You know, today is a weird day because there are a few really bad pitchers, but there's also just kind of a lot of, like, you could probably hear us mentioning all of them, guys that you don't really necessarily want to target on the hitter side either. Guys like Godley or, you know, Carlos Martinez, you know, like there are definitely some bad pitchers, but Yeah, there's plenty of just sort of like generic guys that when you can get a matchup like this, again, given that you can afford it for cash, I'd be all over it. I will say, though, for big tournaments, you can probably, it's probably okay to fade this game, given that many, many people will be on it. You know, there are a bunch of other bad pitchers going today as well. So, you know, but yeah, for cash, you're going to have to be on it.
Yeah, I think some of these guys, for me, like I said, just fall into the wrong side of their platoon. Spitz Cruz is much better against lefties. Segura is like platoon neutral. D Gordon just doesn't really have any power. Like, so you're with a guy like D Gordon, you're sort of hoping that the rest of the team can pick up the slack, like that he needs to get on base, kind of do some stuff, and then everyone else behind him can get going. And they're pretty static with their lineup. This lineup does not really change on a day-to-day basis. They're one of the few teams who's, you can essentially pencil in exactly what they're going to do every single day. Right. So you're not really making it. It's unlikely that you're just going to find a random guy at the top of the order. Famous last words on that and all, but they are one of the, as a guy that just stares at batting lineups like almost every single day. There are some teams you can make bets on if they're going to stay the same. Seattle is definitely one of them. After this Coors game, some other teams in good spots. Where else are we kind of looking? I have a couple other cash game viable stacks. I'm wondering if we're on the same page, though.
Yeah, so there's a really nice matchup between Kansas City and Chicago today where James Shields, so, you know, alarm bells should be sounding in your mind, is going up against Brad Keller. And, Doug, James Shields is favored in this game. So cut to James Shields being like, I don't know, like your guess is as good as mine. But this is the world we live in right now. So Brad Keller is pretty darn bad. You know, he does have the 2.5 ERA this season, but the 5 Ks per 9, 3.4 walks per 9, it's downright Shieldsian in a lot of ways. So I think you get both sides of this game, both the Royals and the White Sox. The White Sox actually are coming up, in spite of a very competitive day, in cash right now for us. It's kind of a mix and match group, but you'll see Abreu in there. You'll see Mankata showing up here and there. There was someone else that I can't find right now. But yeah, so you're going to see some White Sox showing up for us. And again, going the other way, like if there's a day to play Royals, it'll be when James Shields is on the hill. So I really think that will be another popular stack for big tournaments in cash as well.
Yeah, I basically wrote up both sides of this game. Yeah. James Shields did strike out 9 Astros in his last time out. Also allowed 8 earned runs. So that was the old two true outcome kind of game for him, because it was either striking the guy out or they were crossing home plate, and there really wasn't a lot of stuff going on.
So I'm just cutting through these guys right now, boys. 9 Ks.
12 of the base runners he allowed scored. Excuse me, 8 of the 12 base runners he allowed scored. The previous two games, he only allowed 1 run, but the strikeouts aren't there. This guy stinks. I don't know another way to put it. Now, he's been able to sort of turn it on enough to not allow runs in some games. It's mostly because he's just inducing tons of great BABIP in his favor, which is not usually going to happen for a fly ball pitcher in a hitter's park, which Chicago definitely is. I'm definitely on both sides of this game. Mankata, especially. Mankata's huge issue is the strikeouts. He does everything else basically. Like he hits for power, he steals bases, he just strikes out too much for a leadoff hitter. You really reduce that expectation when you face a guy like Shields. The other team that's coming just really cheap across the board. Now they're on the worst side of their split overall, but is the Cardinals. So the Cardinals on FanDuel have just about every guy in the lineup is less than 3,000. It matters a lot more, or 3,000 or less. It matters a lot more when you get a day with just like tons of expensive pitching. It probably doesn't matter as much today. By the way, the only guy that's not there is Carpenter. But what do you think about the Cardinals here? Like, are they just coming too cheap? I was looking into a lot of their numbers. They are running into a lot of BABIP and home run to fly ball issues without having any of the contact issues. They get to face Matt Harvey today. Are they a cheap stack that you could maybe figure out a way to play in an effort to spend up a little bit more of Coors? I'm mostly looking for cash games for these guys, although some people will say they're GPP plays just because they have been sort of feast or famine.
Yeah, no, I can get behind a Cardinals stack. I think it's pretty – well, Harvey's kind of an interesting one because my eyes went to the money line here, and I was like, huh, the Vegas doesn't really believe in the Cardinals. But if you look at Harvey's last 4 games – just 3 walks in, let's see, 25 innings. So he's another guy who the control seems to be coming back around for. The pedigree was there prior to, you know, basically getting hurt. He's 29 now and had a pretty rocky start to this season as well. But there's a chance Harvey is just kind of rounding into a guy who is just like okay to bad rather than being like really bad, like historically bad like he was last season. And if he's kind of on the upswing, I can sort of understand why Vegas has set the line where it is. I don't think you need to stack the Cardinals full on, because like you said, saving on bats isn't as much of a priority today, but sure, taking some one-offs here and there, they're still underpriced. Harvey's still a reasonable matchup, so yeah, I think you can get away from it. But I guess I'm not fully seeing the upside or like the big reason why I would need to stack this team for big tournament purposes.
I really like Matt Carpenter in this place at 3,300 on FanDuel. I think for some reason our system was a little more bullish on him last night. I'm wondering what changed. Might have just been some money line dips or something like that, because I did write him up, and then there are some other guys that are coming in around the same points per dollar with him. The big change was the money line coming in, or excuse me, the run line coming in Colorado, which puts Arenado at around the same points per dollar as Carpenter. So I'll probably have to go and amend some of the picks, because if you just get... Basically, if you get the same, the quick math here is if you get similar points per dollar on a guy that's much more, then that's just kind of where you want to go. You just want to take the guy, obviously, that is worth more and just going to score more points. So maybe just a little more bullish on the Cardinals last night. Though that being said, Pham at 3,900 on DraftKings, Ozuna simply mispriced at 3,200 on DraftKings. Like that is, yeah. It's just way too cheap for a guy whose only issue has been Babbitt this season. Like there's been no other issues for him. His hard contact rate is actually the best of his career, and his Babbitt and home run the fly ball ratio are the lowest. So if you're getting a guy hitting cleanup at 3,200 on DraftKings in this kind of matchup, he's going to be 100% play for me in cash games almost for sure, and just helps you fit some of these other Seattle and Colorado guys if you want to just stack up on that Coors game. All right, we're going to get out of here Friday the 13th. So I hope all the great luck is in your favor tonight. We will be off for next week for the All-Star break. The All-Star break starts Sunday, and then we'll be back again next Friday for more podcasts. That we will be throwing up some mid-season awards from the DFSR writing staff, where we just kind of pick and choose our Cy Young, our MVP, our biggest bust, and our biggest surprise of the season so far. So look for those coming up over the All-Star break. Buddy, enjoy the Home Run Derby. Enjoy the All-Star game. Gosh, I know you get crazy into this stuff. Yeah, I know. I can't wait to just watch guys hit home runs in batting practice. It is going to be completely lit. All right, I'll talk to you next Friday.